Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday, 713-572-4610. Which rookie would you buy stock in? Seth and I debated and discussed that yesterday. We even kicked it around with the guys on In the Loop when they came in for the toss. Three different rookies, and we got three different answers across the four of us. But I put up a poll spawned from a combo that Seth and I had here on at Sports Radio 610. You can buy stock in one of these three Houston rookies. Who you got? Jeremy Pena, Astros shortstop. Jalen Green, first team all rookie, Rockets guard. That came out yesterday. And then Derek Stingley Jr. Who I typed Derek Stingley Jr. Oops, sorry about that, big sting. Overwhelming winner was Jeremy Pena. 64% of the voters, so nearly two-thirds, said, I would buy stock in Jeremy Pena. 29% say Jalen Green, 7% Derek Stingley. I would say that if there were actual prices on these stocks, like I got that reply quite a bit from people. Well, Sean, what exactly is the price of the stock? And I'm like, well, that's if I were an actual investment advisor, that would be a fair question.
That was
just a colloquial talk radio product.
These are all IPOs, subject, okay? Yeah, and they're all starting off at the same amount.
Yeah. Pena, but if there were a price, Pena would be the highest price probably for sure. Pena was your choice, right, Seth? I believe I said
Pena
Green.
Was my choice. Yeah. But like anything involving the stock market, I've second guessed myself 17 times since, and then had more. I'm paying way more in transaction fees than I'll ever actually make on this whole thing.
Your capital gains tax is getting all jacked up.
I've been trading on the futures market since 3 hours before the show, and frankly, I'm zapped. Yeah.
That's funny.
Sorry, I just had a flashback to various guys I played with that thought that they were day traders, like to the point where their jobs as football players were at risk because they were so obsessed with trading.
Oh, really?
Actively. We're like, dude, listen, you've got an opportunity to make a lot of legitimate money here.
Right.
just stop
Focus.
Trying to do it on your smartphone.
Focus.
Yeah.
But Pena, how much of it with Pena winning by that big a landslide is, hey, we're in baseball season, Pena's the only one of these three that's putting any sort of product out on the field right now. And by the way, it's a really good product he's putting out on the field right now.
I think that it's a really good product. Look, right now Pena is tied for fifth in wins above replacement, which it's not the be-all, end-all stat, but a lot of times the best players in the league, it coincides with having a really high war also. You know, the MVPs tend to have some of the highest wars out there. And he's up there right now. The interesting thing about Pena is, man, do the Astros have a type. Because last year, Carlos Correa was in the top five in war, mostly because he was so good defensively, like far above and beyond. His defensive rating was way better than any of the other guys who are leaders in war. Pena is the exact same way right now. The only one other guy has the same defensive war as him in the top 20, and he's got the second best defensive war in the entire league. So anyway, he's playing a whole lot like Correa. Pena is playing very, very much like Correa was last year. So it's hard to say, even though I like Jalen Green a lot and I've got high hopes for him and expectations, he was among the very best rookies in the league, but he did it on a bad team.
Yeah.
You know, Pena is among the very best players in the league right now. And he's doing it on a really good team while he's getting the best shot from all of their opponents.
Yeah, he's got such a good supporting cast, too. Like, it's one thing when you I think it would be one thing if you were a rookie and you were performing this good out the chute and you were looking around and you realized, man, I'm the only thing that's keeping this team afloat right now.
Yeah.
Over the course of 162 games, that can catch up to you mentally and physically probably, but definitely mentally. Pena's never going to have that issue. You know, you almost, honestly, even still thinking about this team, as great as Pena has been so far this year, he's not one of the first players that even pops into your head when you sit back and have one of those thoughts about the nucleus of this baseball team. You know, it's still, okay, the old guard, Altuve, Bregman, Brantley, and then the guys who we hope they sign to new deals soon, Tucker and Alvarez, and then obviously the pitching staff. You know, there's plenty to be happy about, led by Justin Verlander and the pitching staff. For me, at least, Pena is not even one of the things that jumps to front of mind when I'm just taking inventory of the team. I'm still getting used to him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still getting used to him being on this team and being so good.
So for Pena, my basic argument would be, hey, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
The counter argument would be the pudding is only 32 games.
It's very
old.
New pudding, yes.
It's new pudding, yeah.
There's no and skin on top of it or anything.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, you know, is he going to become, like, pudding doesn't age well. It's got to be more than just pudding.
Right.
So that's what we just don't know about him. Jalen Green did it over the course of an entire season and got better as the season went along.
Big time,
and looked, ended up having the, what was the longest five straight 30-plus point game performance.
By a rookie.
It was the first one since 1972. That's what it was.
Those 30-point games he was stacking up down the stretch did touch the record book for sure. How worried would you be if you were owning Jeremy Pena stock in the fact that injuries could make the stock a very, very distressed one?
There's a part about Pena that makes me a little bit nervous, just that, like, as fast as he is, he's got a little bit of a stiffness about him, you know, that you get a little bit nervous when he's running. Almost he doesn't look as fluid as some guys who are as fast as him.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me nervous. That's got like a clowny element to it, you know, where you just worry that, okay, is he going to be injury prone? They had a scare last night when he ran to first and was thrown out and kind of was gimpy going back to the dugout.
He did?
Yeah,
I didn't see the game.
He's fine. Okay. But he kind of runs with a hitch in his giddy up to begin with. Oh. So you can never tell, like, okay, wait a second. Is that the normal hitch in his giddy up? Or is he actually limping there?
You know how I worry about this stuff sometimes. Depends on the play. I'm one way or the other. I either worry greatly about a player or I'm like, Odorizzi. He'll be fine. Whatever.
Pena, in some respects, I think he could probably benefit this offseason once he's, you know, had a full year as a major leaguer. When he starts working with some of these biomechanical running technique people, he's got a little bit of a disjointedness in his hips. I can't describe it as well as these exercise physiologists can. But he kind of, his hip, when you watch him run, it's almost like his hips aren't connected to the rest of his body.
Yeah.
Like, he's got all this power and force, but he's shooting it off into multiple directions instead of just straight ahead. He can learn to loosen that gait up a little bit.
I feel a Will Fuller posture press conference coming on next spring training from Jeremy Pena. Remember that? When Will Fuller talked about how he worked on his posture when he was running?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Will Fuller with his posture.
Really well.
Alex Bregman's had, you know, various little deals that he's done in the offseason. I worry about Jeremy Pena the same way I worry about Alex Bregman. With these workaholic types, sometimes your hard work is not rewarded. Sometimes you're punished for your hard work.
Yeah.
And that you're...
That's what I tell myself every day.
The guys who are... there's so many guys who are just kind of naturals, and they work, but they're not... You know, they're not grinding it out doing the Instagram videos and everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes those guys end up being rewarded with longevity because their bodies recover in the offseason. Sometimes the gym rats get punished for it because they never give their bodies a chance to relax. That's what I worry about with Jeremy Pena.
I said Jalen Green, and 29% of the people agreed with me. Again, the question was, of the three big-time rookies in town right now for each of the three teams, Pena, Jalen Green, Derek Stingley Jr., who would you buy stock in? My case for Green was, I think his ceiling as an individual player is really, really high. Like, scoring champion, best player on a playoff team. I guess I think he's, barring injury, he's can't miss. He's going to be a really good NBA player. He's going to be an all-star. I feel really confident in that. I guess my case against him, if I were trying to talk myself out of Jalen Green and buying stock in him, is that the basketball, Seth, is probably, of these three sports, probably the one where your stock, so to speak, is most inextricably linked to the level you carry your team in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know that people are going to penalize Jeremy Peña if all of a sudden the Astros stop going to ALCSs. I know they're not going to penalize Derek Stingley Jr. if the Texans, you know, just continue to be a football team that never makes it deep into the playoffs. A player like Jalen Green, if he is to the level I think he can be, will ultimately be defined to some degree by his ability to take the Rockets to a conference final, to an NBA final, to win a championship. And that's hard to do. You know, that is, you know, over the last decade, unless you've had Giannis, Steph Curry, LeBron James, or Kawhi Leonard on your team, you haven't won an NBA championship.
Yeah, Jeremy Peña could be Mike Trout and be regarded as one of the best players in baseball without ever actually having to do anything in the playoffs. So there is that. Whereas, yeah, look, we've seen here firsthand, going to the Western Conference Finals every year isn't enough to cement you in some people's minds as a top five guy.
Yep.
You know, as it was with, you know, very unfairly for Harden for a while. And but now we don't care. So that's where you don't have to worry about it with Peña, because at least for the immediate future, I think, as he's going to be on a quality team.
Yeah.
I do have a hard time. Like, yeah, I know window this, window that, and I don't know, like, how often the Astros will be in championship contention over the next 5 or 10 years, but I do feel like they've got enough of an infrastructure in place that they're going to be a competitive team. And Peña, as long as he stays healthy, he'll be obviously a part of that.
Yep. 713-572-4610. Do you think Stingley has a strong case at all in this argument, or are we just way too early in the Stingley era here?
We're way too early. What percentage of the votes did Stingley get?
7%.
7% of people would buy stock in Derek Stingley,
including
right now,
John Lopez. Lopez says Stingley.
Compared to Jalen Green and Jeremy Peña. But Stingley, he's got several things working against him. One is, like, everything you had just mentioned about team success does not have a whole lot of public favor with the Texans right now.
No.
So if you're looking at people's trust factor in the team for which he plays, there's that. There's just the fact that he hasn't even played in the NFL yet.
Yeah.
So there's a 50-50 chance that any given first rounder isn't even going to be that good in the NFL. And then I think a lot of people are still very wary of Stingley's injury history and just exactly what that's going to mean. If you're talking about buying stock in somebody long-term, like, all right, this is a guy whose last really good season was 2019 because he's been injured and or sick for 2 years. I don't feel great about buying that stock long-term.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about Stingley's injury history than I am Peña's, which is saying something, because Peña only played 30 games above A-ball because of injuries. And he's already had one knee injury this year, and I'm more worried about Stingley than I am Jeremy Peña. 713-572-4610. Text message from 713-260. This goes back to us talking about Altuve earlier this hour, Seth. I think Houston needs to stop taking up for Altuve. It was his dumbass fault for apologizing for something he didn't do. I still love him, but that was stupid. What the texter is referring to, obviously, is when Bregman and Altuve made public apologies back in February of 2020 at spring training for the Astros in the sign-stealing, or as Seth likes to call it, the being better than everybody else scandal. Here, just to refresh, here quickly was Altuve's apology that day.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Alex. I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night, and I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020. Thank you.
Yeah, that's how you cap off an apology, reminding everybody we're going to win a championship.
I know that was.
I love that. I love him so much.
We talked about that a few weeks ago. Yeah. That was probably it wasn't going to be received well outside of Houston, no matter what he said. But I think that was kind of the parting comment that Altuve didn't mean anything by, but that the rest of people probably felt like, oh, is that right? Okay,
yeah,
great.
Thanks for that, buddy. On the one hand, bonus points for being the one guy who didn't read his apology off of a sheet of paper. On the other hand, you might have wanted to read your apology off a sheet of paper. freestyling that, caught him.
Bregman memorized his yeah. His apology fluttered away in the wind, very metaphorically.
Until proven otherwise, I believe there was a telestrator out there he was looking at somewhere.
I think that, so to the texter's point, and yeah. I think that was Lamont actually who texted that in. To the texter's point, yes, he did apologize, and a lot of people make him the face of that, perhaps because of the apology. I think it's more so because of that ridiculous buzzer, the ridiculous buzzer rumor from 2019 that makes, and the fact that ESPN won't stop showing that picture, or that video of him running around holding his jersey closed, that keeps fueling that perception that Altuve was like the chief culprit somehow.
Right.
That's what's so ironic about it, was there's all kinds of evidence now that Altuve definitely didn't participate in the scandal. But people love making him the face of the scandal. Why did he apologize? I think it's, and that's another of the great ironies of this, because he really wanted to do the noble thing, which was stick up for his team and be a genuine team player, which means sacrificing whatever it might be. And he's like, Altuve has sacrificed greatly to stand in solidarity with his teammates and say, look, all right, look, they messed up. They shouldn't have done it, but I'm one of them. They're one of me. And there we go. So I think that, I don't know if he'll ever regret having done that.
I don't think he does. I was thinking the same. I don't think he does regret having done that, Seth. I don't think he does.
I admire the hell out of him for it. It's, I mean, cause he, it's like committing to anything else in life that you know is going to be controversial, but you feel right about it and you do it, and like come hell or high water, you're going to stay committed to it.
Yeah.
Maybe you marry an unpleasant woman, but you stand by her side, no matter how many people she angers.
Keep going.
Or gets, yeah. But, I married that Karen and I'm going to stand by her. So I admire him for it, and I think he'll never be appreciated for it outside of Houston the way he is here. But I think it's kind of one of the things that makes him unique in the world of superior athletes.
Yeah,
that he did something genuinely selfless.
95% of his time professionally is spent privately with his teammates. It bought him a ton of equity in that 95% of his life. If in the other 5% he's got to deal with a bunch of yahoos booing him at a stadium, he'll just turn around and hit bombs. That's what he does.
Yeah.
We aren't playing this because we're talking about Altuve, although the lyrics do apply. There's no one like you, Jose Altuve. There's also no one like Scorpions. They're at the Houston Toyota Center on September the 17th. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 is going to be on their way to that concert. We're doing this multiple times today, Ben? We're doing this twice. Okay, we're doing it again next hour between 7:45 and 8 o'clock. All right.
Did they start off as Scorpion and then become Scorpions after like a band member change or something?
I'm not sure. I admire you. You're thought that I have that degree of 80s trivia knowledge. I thank you for that, but I don't know the history of Scorpions. I'm not sure. I bet it's in their wiki page. I'm going to go look it up. Yeah, Scorpions. They're not the Scorpions. They're Scorpions.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Flat out. The hard one to keep up with back in the day was Starship.
Yes.
Jefferson Airplane became what?
Jefferson Starship.
Jefferson Starship and became Starship.
Yeah.
Starship was where I feel like they jumped the shark.
They're they
like,
did, right, but we so. Built this city is an underrated song. I like when
that was
when,
just Starship.
Yeah, that was just Starship. When We Built This City plays in a bar, I get a little extra hop in my step. I'm like, yeah, we did build this city.
It did, but it
roll.
Came from being like this. Like Jefferson Airplane was like this very like earthy 60s
right.
Woodstock type of band.
You're right.
To all of a sudden, Starship was like this. They might have been the first band to use auto-tune and synthesizers and everything. It was just a big departure.
It's almost like they looked around at the sci-fi craze of the early 80s. They're like, we got to keep up with this here. No more airplanes. Starships. That's what we are. Like one of them got stoned and watched Battlestar Galactica or something. Like, guys, I got it. This is how we're going to get some staying power. And then they got rid of Jefferson.
Now they are Space Force.
They are Space Force One.
Oh, speaking of which, we got to talk about something the military is doing with athletes later in the show.
Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. It's some interesting stuff for sure.
Experiments.
Okay.
No, that's not it.
That's not. I mean, it's kind of, but not like on the athletes.
Yeah.
All right. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. There, an NFL reporter yesterday laid out some Deshaun Watson thoughts from inside the NFL. Is the analogy that one particular NFL source is making a valid one for Deshaun Watson? And is the concern real for the NFL? We'll explain next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.